In our household, we have three remote controls for our television. We have one that controls just the channels on the TV, which you would use for when you have an you're using the antenna. Then there's one for the DVD player, and then there's one that controls the sound bar, which is where all the sound for everything comes through. About 3 weeks ago, we lost the remote for the sound bar. And normally when this happens, it just kind of appears somewhere one day, but this has not been the case with this particular remote. I think we keep hoping that this thing will just sprout legs and waltz into the living room one day as I'm sitting on the couch, frustrated that I have to stand up to go actually change the volume. But I don't think it's going to happen. Our fear that Annie and I have, is that it is somehow migrated downstairs into the children's playroom, which is strewn with toys everywhere. It is the virtual Lego landmine field that you dare not step in without shoes and steel-toed boots on as you go in there. So I think we have basically just admitted that the remote is lost, and we're going to have to walk from the couch to the TV now to change the volume on the TV. Our gospel reading is about things that are lost. And throughout our scripture readings today, they are about people who are lost or who have lost their way, people who have sinned and done something wrong and need to be found by God. We get a little bit about that from St. Paul in his writing to his friend Timothy in 1 Timothy. And in there we get just a hint of what St. Paul's story is. Now, if you know anything about St. Paul, you know that in the book of Acts we hear what basically you could call his conversion story, his testimony. Paul was a guy who used to be very violent against the people of God. He was kind of in the class of Pharisees. According to the law, he did everything right. In his own eyes, he was a righteous man. He was at the high point of his career. If the church or if the people, the Jews, had bishops, Paul probably would have been a bishop. He was a man who did things by the book, and the book being the Old Testament. But one day, as Paul is walking to Damascus, he is basically assaulted by the Lord Jesus, who at this time had ascended into heaven. And Paul sees a flashing light, and Jesus talks to Paul and says, "Why are you persecuting me?" And from then on, Paul's life is changed entirely. He becomes a man of the cross, a man of Christ. And through him, we have the spread of the gospel to the church, to all over the known world at that time, the known Roman world. Because of Paul, we have about half of the New Testament that we have, because he has written it. He has an amazing story. He was lost, and then he was found. We get these words from 1 Timothy, where he says, "Even though I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, a man of violence, I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost." Jesus saves sinners, those who are lost and need to be found. In our gospel story, Jesus is about doing his work. He's out preaching, and there are tax collectors and sinners who are drawing near to him and listening to him. Tax collectors were those people who basically abandoned their own people. They became hired by the Roman state and were through very unethical practices, collected all sorts of things from people, lining their own pockets as well as the pockets of Rome. They were hated by their own people. They were outcasts. They were just despised people. And the sinners that are referred to here are not just your average sinners. They're the people whose sin was so obvious and so blatant. It was the kind of sin that everybody looked at and said, oh yeah, that person does bad. They were a crowd of, say, prostitutes and thieves, people who were blatantly sinful people. And these people are drawing near to Christ. And the Pharisees and scribes look at them and they look at Jesus and they don't like the company that Jesus is keeping with these sinners. They don't like that he goes and he eats with these people, that he receives them into his company. Jesus sees this. And so then he tells them the parables of the lost sheep and the lost coin. He tells them how a sheep was lost, wandered away from the rest of the flock, and the shepherd, knowing that the sheep had gone, leaves the rest of his sheep behind and goes and searches for the sheep until he can find it. And when he does, he puts the sheep on his shoulders, walks home rejoicing, and brings it before the rest of the community, and they all rejoice together. And then Jesus tells about a woman who lost a silver coin, one out of 10 of her coins. The silver coin would probably be about a day's worth of wages. And when the woman realizes that she loses it, she turns on the lamp, she sweeps out the house, she looks all over the place until she finds it. And when she does, she celebrates. The implication here is that Jesus himself is that shepherd. Jesus is the woman who goes and looks for that which is lost. But there's a curious ending to both of these parables here. One that we could easily gloss over. One that we would often read the wrong way. Because about both of these parables, Jesus wraps them up and he says that there will be more joy in heaven or more joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Over one sinner who repents. The reason we would overlook this is because we often have in our mind a false definition behind one who repents. In our mind, one who repents is one who sees that they are doing something wrong, and so they make a conscious effort, and they turn away from that thing that is wrong. They go away from evil, and they start walking towards the Lord, towards God. But here, Jesus puts a different spin on it. Because the sheep wasn't walking towards the shepherd. And the coin is like my remote control. It's an inanimate object. It is incapable of bringing itself into the light to be found by the woman. In both cases, it is the shepherd, it is the widow, it is Jesus who goes out and looks for that which is lost. And here Jesus connects the person being found to one who has repented, to a sinner who has recognized their sin and repented. This repentance comes first as an activity of God upon the sinner. St. Paul was not looking for Jesus on the road to Damascus. In fact, he was looking for more people who belonged to the crowd of people who followed Jesus so that he could persecute them. But Jesus came to him in a flash of light and turned him around. Jesus repented Paul. The shepherd repented the sheep. The woman repented the coin and brought them into the light. And as Paul tells us, it is because the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and the love that are in Christ Jesus. Now, to be certain, when one sees that they belong to the crowd of tax collectors and sinners, and not to the crowd of Pharisees and scribes, there has to come a recognition that your sin is offensive to the Lord and demands His judgment, even His wrath upon it. But you are here today because God has been merciful to you, and He has brought you into His house so that you, like the tax collectors and the sinners, could draw near to the Lord and hear His word, which tells you that you have a need. And more than that, it tells you who has paid for that need. Christ died for you, and He died for me, so that we could come to Him through His Spirit and hear His words, and in hearing His words, show sorrow for our sin and turn away from that sin, and in faith grab on to the Lord Jesus Christ, who offers His cleansing blood on our behalf and offers His Spirit from the throne of God coming down to us as a search party, searching out sinners in a world that is lost. The Lord has found you, and in finding you has exposed you of your sin, and in doing that has sent His Spirit to turn you away from it and into the arms of your forgiving Savior, who died for you that you might know Him. And so this morning, as we do every day, we have to ask ourselves, which role am I in this parable? Am I the tax collector and the sinner? Am I the one who knows that my sin is there? It is blatant. It needs to be confessed. There's no hiding from it. But I'm going to listen to the words of Christ. Hear that He doesn't like my sin, but hear also that He forgives me of it. Or am I going to be the Pharisee and the scribe and pretend that I don't belong to that group? That I'm not one of those. I don't need that. I don't need Christ. The answer is obvious as to who we are. The words of Christ tell us this, but what a joy to know that I once was lost, but now am found, was dead, but now I am alive. Let us pray. O gracious Lord, we give You thanks that we are in fact Your lost children, but that You have sought us out through Your word, through Your church, through Your people, proclaiming Jesus Christ to us. O Lord, as we come before You, we come before You today as sinful people, people who have disobeyed Your word in many different ways. Help us, O Lord, by Your Spirit to turn away from that and in faith to grab on to the life that You have given us and the life that You would like us to lead. Help us, O Lord, also to show the fruit of faith as we live lives that are pleasing to You. We pray this in Your name. Amen.